The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
The hour begins, and we talked to one of the preeminent sports reporters in the country for USA Today, Steve Berkowitz, who has chiseled down some moderately complex issues, not only about financial distribution in the SEC, but how much it costs to have a successful recruiting program. Steve joins us now. Steve, it's always great to see you and talk to you. Thanks so much for the time. Want to talk about the recruiting story first, the one you reported the other day. How are you? And tell us some of the conclusions that you discovered in looking at some pretty intricate information.
I'm well. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for having me on, and I always appreciate the kind words. College athletics department's revenue and expenditure reports for the 2022 fiscal year have started to come available. We've been able to drill into some of what they've been spending their money on, and one of those areas that we looked at was the amount of money that they spend recruiting football players, and we found that University of Georgia in fiscal year of 2022, and I did this work with Mark Weiser from the Athens banner. We found that Georgia had spent a little over $4.5 million recruiting football players in FY22. Georgia has been consistently spending more than most of the other Power Five public schools over the past 4 to 5 years. But that total was pretty eye-opening. Even if you adjust for inflation, going back to what they spent in 2019, which is about $3.7 million, which was the most by a million, they're even adjusting for inflation, they're spending about $250,000 more in 2022 than they spent in 2019. And the gap between Georgia and the next highest spending school in this area, which was Texas A&M and Tennessee, was about $1.5 million, which is, that's a huge, huge gap.
And just so nobody misunderstands, this would have been a joke a couple of years ago, but now you have to explain. This is not the players to go there. This is for expenses for the staff and for other things, which I do want to ask you about. I don't know how much you can glean from looking at these records, but where does this money go? What do they do? Why does it cost so much?
Yeah, by the NCAA definition of this, this is basically just tracking their just basic, expenses on recruiting. So, plane flights, meals for recruits when they're on campus, the cost of getting athletes to campus, the cost of putting coaches on the road to go and recruit. It's those kinds of expenses. This doesn't cover the cost, the money that schools spend on the salaries of people whose jobs it is to help support those recruiting efforts. That's a different line item within the reports. The dollar figure that I was talking about there is strictly, sort of the cost of the straight cost of doing business, transportation, lodging, meals, things like that.
Yeah, cost, I think it was my dad who told me this at a young age, you get what you pay for. So it looks like Georgia's spending the money well, which brings me to the SEC. This comes out at various times. They announce their revenues. These are always a little bit complex because so many factors go into this. But Steve, as you look at the SEC's massive revenue sharing today, what stood out, and what should we take away from this?
Well, the reporting that I had on this was that they had a slight decline in their revenue and a slight decline in their distributions on a per school basis for the 2022 fiscal year. I think this is sort of a little bit of a blip that's that is connected largely to a bubble in revenue that they had last year that was caused by a variety of different things. This is sort of an aberration. The SEC and the Big Ten are still going to be far and away the greatest revenue producers as conference units go. And, you know, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be terribly close. And I think you're going to see the per school distributions in the Big Ten be over $50 million. But then you're going to sort of see how this begins to evolve when their new television contracts go into effect. I mean, and then you're going to see these numbers really explode again in the next couple of years.
And right now with the SEC, it's a hair below $50 million. And Steve, I realize we're projecting here and you're a reporter, but some of the projections on what these numbers could be are, is it fair to say nearly double this in a couple of years?
Yeah. I think that's what's expected. I mean, in the SEC, it may take a little longer for these numbers to really take off because within the first couple of years of their contract for football with ESPN, there's going to be a deduction in the school's revenue shares from the conference because the conference advanced the schools $23 million apiece last year to help them get over with the sort of the deficits that they had in their budgets related to the pandemic. So that was an advance. That wasn't sort of just like money that the conference gave them. The conference took a $350 million loan in order to be able to have the money to do this. So that money is going to be not really sort of paid back, but it's going to be recouped and paid to the bank by reducing revenue shares. Now, those revenue shares are still going to be greater than they are currently. They just aren't going to be as big as they would otherwise have been. And then I think they're going to get even bigger when Oklahoma and Texas come in, and you presume that the television rights payment will be even larger when you bring those schools into the mix. And again, you're going to see the same thing in the Big Ten with their new television contract that begins to take effect here within the next year or so. And you're going to see the same kind of impact there as they bring in USC and UCLA.
Steve, if we go back in the middle of the early days of the pandemic, I remember a lot of schools weren't sure they were going to make it. What happened?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing was that, and Tom McMillan, who the former mm-hmm. congressman who is the executive director of the of a group that an association that represents all of the FBS schools, put this to me in sort of the best, which I thought was sort of a really sensible way. I mean, he was, you know, he didn't diminish at all the short-term issues that the schools were going to be dealing with. And, you know, people's lives and employment were being affected and people were being laid off. People were were losing their jobs. And, you know, but in the long, even at the height of the pandemic, Tom felt like, you know, football was a pretty good bet. College football was a pretty good bet. And the conferences and the schools had long-term, you know, contracts that they could borrow against. And he viewed this as sort of a short-term problem, and he's proving to have been pretty prescient in that observation. You're seeing a situation where, you know, when the SEC, the conference, essentially, loaned money to the schools in the Big Ten, where schools had huge, huge deficits, $50 million annual deficits, that the schools, the athletics departments, borrowed the money from the school, essentially, and are paying it back over 15, 20, 30 years. The impact of this financially will be felt for a long time as athletics departments repay this money. But that's basically how they fixed it. I mean, some athletics departments were able to borrow from the university. In some instances, they borrowed money from banks. In some instances, the universities issued debt in order to create money for this. So, I mean, there were a number of different ways where these deals are sort of patched over, and you know that they'll have to deal with that, but it'll be amortized over a really long period of time.
Yeah, remember when this was an amateur sport, Steve? It seems like we're talking about Wall Street here, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a business, a big business for a long time.
And always enjoy your coverage of it. It's so for somebody that wants. Traveled in the newspaper world, it's great to see an organization like yours concern yourself with real numbers and reporting as opposed to the hot takes that we all do here. Steve, thanks for coming on, as always.
Thank you a lot. Thanks very much for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Steve Berkowitz, as I mentioned, a true investigative reporter in the sports platform, and we always appreciate his time. We'll take a break. Phone calls the rest of the way, and we come back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back here as we work our way through the final hour on a Thursday afternoon. Let's check in with AJ in Pell City, Alabama.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
What's up, AJ?
Let me ask you a question, Paul.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm listening to you.
Okay. Paul, are you there? Is that you, Paul? Are you there? Anyway, yes. I want to ask you a question, Paul. First of all, I'm not going to – I learned last week that there's not very much meat on a squirrel's bones, so I'm not even going to step into that. But I will speak to you on one situation, Paul. Seems to be AJ from Pell City's been the topic of conversation tonight. You know what I did? You know what I did different than them? I went to Gary Wayne's Feinbaum collar camp last spring, and you know what? You know what Legend told me? He said, AJ, let me tell you something. When you go into battle, always remember, haters can only hate. And when they start hating, what you do is you take that black hat, that tall black hat, and you just lean your chin down and you just tip it a little bit and you look back up at them and smile. That's what you do, Paul. Let me ask you something, Paul. I got a problem now. You know, here's my thing. Dustin brought my mother into the conversation. On Feinbaum.
I apologize for not remembering that he... What did he say about your mother?
Oh, you should remember, Paul, because you clearly said one thing. You chimed in and said she was hot. Probably hot.
I don't remember saying that, but then again, I've already forgotten
most of
this
call.
That was
the first hour. I know. You got a lot going on. Yeah. I understand that, but to clarify things with Justin, my mother passed away 6 months after COVID reached the state of Alabama, and she had a series of strokes, and she was in a home that it was far from a retirement home, and she had succumbed to that.
Well, I will say this to you, AJ. I'm not just saying that. I don't remember. I may have been numb during the conversation, but I am sorry to hear about your mom, and that's a terrible thing to happen.
Well, it's quite all right. I mean, it is what it is. Nobody knows anything about anybody because, see, you had, you went on to Matt on the next call in the first hour.
Right.
And Matt, you mistakenly interjected AJ into Matt. You and I never talked about Matt last night. Well, I never mentioned Matt.
Well, AJ,
because,
let me put it this way. Since I just assumed you mentioned every caller on the show on one of your rants. So
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said this, Paul. I'm glad you said it, because had you had asked me about Matt, I would have said he would be like Handsome Joe, because I haven't understood anything Matt has to say. I mean, when Matt calls, I think I'm listening to Charlie Brown's teacher.
Okay. Well, you're definitely warming up now.
Hello?
AJ, I'm sorry. I'm not a laugh track. I'm a host. I do. If you need me to interject every time you finish a thought, I will. I was hoping that you would eventually get to a thought here.
But one thing I will add, in the Matt's conversation, you, Paul, you said, I'm not sure this guy, he said, I don't know. You said, I don't know. This guy hasn't done anything with himself or da 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 da. Are you referring to me in my career, in my life, or
what? AJ, I really I don't know anything about your career or your life. The only thing I know about you is what you do on this program.
Okay, well, let me explain something to you. I'll interject a little bit of personal part of me, because Squirrel likes to, you know, give you a little bit of his personality.
AJ, the difference is
business.
I know Squirrel. I've met him several times. I've never met you, to my knowledge.
So you climb trees and
I go to football weekends every year, and I've bumped into Squirrel three or four times the years.
I've never taken offense to anything you said, but
that would be hard for me to believe based on the first couple of minutes of this phone call, but please finish your thought.
Okay, please. Thank you, Madam Speaker. What I will say is, at 19 years old, I decided I wasn't going to work for anybody. So at 42 years old, I retired, and I still never worked for anybody. Sitting here on the lake, looking at the waterfront. Hey, so
now you have my curiosity because I'm still working every day trying to make a living.
That's what I was fixing to say.
What did you do, opening into
my next sentence.
Well, can you share with us how you were able to retire at 42?
Three letters. G-O-D. God allowed me to. But I will tell you this. I'm not going to get into specifics with my personal life, but I will say, evasively, I will say one thing.
Hey, AJ, not to respond to that, but you just brought us into your personal life. You're the one who brought your mother up. You brought your fabulously wealthy decision.
Don't try to double talk us.
I mean, we're all not as stupid as you think we are.
And I don't expect you to be stupid. I mean, you graduated from Knoxville. And you ran the newspaper at the school, and had you not moved to Birmingham, you'd still be running the newspaper at the school. But you tripped and fell into Ball Pair Bryant. And then all of a sudden, boom, hey, and it was all good. And listen, I'm from Birmingham. I was born in Birmingham. I remember you from I sat in line waiting on Bo Jackson with the Memphis Chicks to sign my newspaper, and you were there. My grandmother said, hi, that's Paul Feinbaum right there. What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, you and Dustin both brought my mother into the Feinbaum show.
Well,
and
AJ, I apologize once. I'm not going to do it again. So, sorry. Next time maybe you call, you'll make a point in the first 5 minutes of your conversation. Cat Daddy is next.
Well, AJ is living proof that the liquor stores are still open. Mr. Feinbaum, I've got one question. You have watched these college kids play through the years and moved on to the pros. And I think other than that guy, what's his name? Looks like the porn star that does the predictions.
Oh, Danny?
Danny, that's right. That's right. But I think
you would be a great person. Hold on, you think Danny Sheridan looks like a porn star?
Well, yeah, if you think about it, back in the 70s.
Oh, well, you know, you're right. Now that I think about it, if you remember Danny in the 70s, he had that porn star mustache.
Yeah, that's the one. But anyway, your knowledge of all these college football players going into the pros, I think you would be the perfect one to choose a winner for the Super Bowl. So what is your prediction, Mr. Feinbaum?
Well, Cat Daddy, I know nothing about anything, but I am pulling for the Eagles. So what does that make me?
Well, that'll make Jesse Walters on Fox News happy if they win.
what else could possibly matter?
What else? Well, God bless y'all. Have a great night, and go Eagles.
You got it. somebody once asked me a question. He was a reporter. He was hanging out with me. He said, at what point did you lose control of the show? And the answer tonight is I never had it. Elliot is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I don't think it should be Big Brother House. I think you should have a quiz show with the loser has to do a challenge against the other competitors. And, the quiz show could have questions like, perhaps, when is Texas and OU coming to the SEC versus when is LSU and the likes coming to the Big Ten? Something like that.
That makes perfect sense. I think we know OU and Texas are coming in either in 24 or in 25. Bubba is in North Carolina. Bubba.
Paul.
Bubba.
How's it going this evening?
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it may.
Yeah, I was doing great. I had a pretty good day going, Paul, to AJ call, and that was 5 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back.
I don't know. I felt like somebody picked me up and held me upside down off the top of a skyscraper. That's how dizzy I got during that phone call.
I knew it was too good to be true. I've been enjoying since AC has quit calling regular. And then here comes this AJ dude. Where did this cat come from?
I don't know, but he clearly takes every caller personally. He's thin-skinned. He's obviously narcissistic. He's fat. He's got generational wealth because he retired at 42. He never told us what he did, but obviously he worked for himself.
Oh, I know. He's wanting to brag on himself so bad, but he didn't want you to get in his personal business.
No, Paul. I thought that. By the way, if I told you, Bubba, which would be tough to do right now, I made so much money in my life, I retired at 42. Wouldn't your next question be how?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd let everybody I knew in on it.
You could write a best-selling book, but he didn't want to discuss that. I mean, which makes me believe he must have robbed a bank.
No, he kept waiting on you to correspond to every statement he made or reinforce his statements, and I'm like, get a load of this cat.
Yeah, I was. I don't mind doing that with an entertaining caller. I mean, that's exactly
what I do.
Yeah,
somebody has a little substance to their call, but.
But I felt like
the Tennessee Vanderbilt game last night.
Yes,
that was an awesome ball game. Congrats to Vanderbilt. They won it at the buzzer. Vanderbilt played their butt off. Tennessee did not play bad last night.
No, I thought they played really well, but I just didn't understand the coaching at the end of the game.
No, they. I don't know what they were trying to prove. They were playing to lose instead of playing to win.
Let's talk common sense here, okay? You've got a 2-point lead? Is that correct? Okay, you have a 2-point lead with
you got a 2-point lead with time running out.
You have a 2-point lead with however many seconds left. Let's say 15.
Like 8 seconds.
Or whatever it is. You have a wide open layup, dunk, whatever you want to do, and you don't take it. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah, he pulled up short on the layup or the dunk and ran around the court.
I don't know, but to me that seemed like that's coming from the sideline. Like there, I mean, I understand running out the clock. I also understand going ahead by 4 with 10 seconds to go.
Exactly. That was a no-brainer, man. But I want to congratulate Vanderbilt. They played a heck of a game.
It is tough to make a 4-point play unless you get fouled on a 3-pointer.
Absolutely. But like I said, Vandy played a great game.
Well, listen, Jerry Stackhouse made a great call at the end of the game, and they pulled it off. We're up against the break. We will be serving drinks during the intermission here. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Final 30 minutes of the show as we head for the hills. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good evening. And I don't have a list of grievances. Can I still talk?
I don't know. We may never get over that AJ call.
No, he was gaslighting in a major way. And he kept regurgitating. That's what made it worse, obviously. But if you do have an NIL, I think it's been brought up by Dustin Eyman, I would definitely contribute to the collective. I think it'd be
Thank
a great
you.
Contest.
You're in.
Paul, two questions. What do you think, first, of them playing a college game at Wrigley Field? Have you been there in the summer?
Yeah, I've been to some games at Wrigley Field. I like it. They've done it before, have they not?
I know they've done hockey games. When Chicago Bears played there when the stadium was being reconfigured. Yeah.
I thought Illinois played a game there a couple years ago. Anyway, it seems like they have, but I think it's fantastic. I've been to that ballpark many times in my early baseball fanatic days, and there's nothing quite like it.
Oh, yeah, in the summer, you go to the bar, then go to the game, then go back to the bar and don't drive home, right?
Yeah, this will be, by the way, we were told, Jamari told me this will be the third college football game there.
Yeah, and a big, and you know, two huge teams, Iowa versus Northwestern. I can't wait, right?
Well, it's the ambiance, of course.
Yeah. Second question. Notre Dame, explain to me how they get into the CFP. They have some special exception, or
no? Well, yeah, that what they get in, but they get in without a championship game. But they, I believe the what I saw was they cannot be a top four seed. That's only for the conference champions.
Oh, I got you. They don't get a waiver on the first round of games.
Right.
Hey, one other piece of news. Charlie Strong's left Miami as well.
Yeah, Charlie Strong, since he was the head coach at Texas, then he was a head coach somewhere else. What, South Florida?
Well, before that, Louisville. Isn't that where he got his start
Louisville,
as the head
exactly.
coach?
Exactly. And his career has really spiraled since then. I don't know. I've always liked him. I thought he was a bad choice at Texas only because he was never going to mesh with that system out there at the time. But I am really surprised by his spiral.
A rising star that burned out.
Yeah, he was one of the hottest. He was obviously the hottest coach in the country for a while.
Great show today,
Louis. Thank you, John. Really appreciate it. I-Man is up next.
Well, you know, Paul, I've just been kind of sitting back listening and watching and paying attention because, you know, I'm a good listener.
You are.
But I just got to tell you, you want me to be honest with you? You want me to be honest?
Yes, I do.
I got nothing for you today. I just nothing on the stove is stirred. Nothing's been moved. And after the AJ call, it's just
I could ask you a question, I mean, you're certainly, as you said yesterday, one of the top six callers on the show. What do you think happened to him tonight? Because he was a mildly entertaining caller, and tonight he just melted down. and there was nothing left at the end.
Well, I've got a 3-year-old granddaughter in the background melting down. You can hear that. Maybe just needs a nap. I mean, you know, you well,
you said a
you
nap.
Know, sometimes
you, hold on. Did you say a nap or an act? Because he does.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this when it comes to callers. I think some people, when they're talking to you, they get so, is enamored the right word?
That's
they're
a good
they're
word.
Just taken back.
I don't
want to
overwhelm
back.
You with words. You always get upset when I use a big word.
Oh, is enamored a big word?
Well, it's I think what it does is it shows your sapience.
No, I'm not sapient. I'm not sapient. But you know, I think people are overwhelmed with themselves that they finally got through, because that's a feat in itself.
Yeah.
Because
it is.
I've been on the end of the phone trying to hit speed dial, and you'll dial your number 200 times before you ever get through sometimes. But I think people get taken aback with, you know, your presence on the phone, that they don't even know it's you half the time. And sometimes I think people try too hard. I mean, it's a phone call.
No, I think you're
that's
right.
All, that's
I mean,
what
this
it is.
This is a true clinic on calling in the show, because it's like anything you do. It's the reason why people perform well under pressure is that they have practiced the routine over and over again.
It's a conversation.
Yeah,
it's not a test. I mean, you know, these two blondes were sitting at the park bench, and one of them said, "I took a pregnancy test," and the other one said, "Was there any hard questions?"
That's funny. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Okay, well, Paul,
you've done a nice job with a 3-year-old in the background.
Oh, and she's a wonderful girl. I tell you what, sometimes she comes in with a little Auburn shirt on. And sometimes I have my own. She's, and that's our Feinbaum shirts. That's what she knows. And she'll come in and say, or, you know, she'll be watching Paw Patrol or something when I come in from work. And she'll say, "You going to watch Feinbaum?" And she's got you down pat. And when your music's on, I tell you, that child stops what she's doing. She comes in the den and she is dancing. She enjoys your program.
Well, I mean, we may have lost a listener tonight. And AJ, we got a new one in your granddaughter. We'll take a break. And we come right.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So we're about to head down to Florida. KK Dean's getting ready, and Gators look good. Back to the calls here, and let's check in with Bill in Pensacola. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, can you hear me all right?
You sound great. Thank you.
All right. So some of my friends are Seminoles, but most of them are LSU Tigers. What do you think about their matchup in Orlando this upcoming season, especially since both of them exceeded expectations? Will my Noles come up on top, and can I tell my Tiger friends to stop drinking that Bayou water?
Yeah, I need to think about this game. I mean, first of all, this is the best game of the opening weekend, and it has nothing to do with last year, but I mean, both clubs are legitimate contenders, and I think for LSU, it's a chance to get the season off to a fast start. The game doesn't mean a lot in terms of what both schools are trying to accomplish. I think they can both get to the playoffs without a win, through the conference, but I think it's a momentum game, and especially for Florida State with all the hype that they're going to get coming into the season. You know, is this the year that they finally knock off Clemson? Because they, as you know, they still have to, 4 weeks later, they head to Clemson in what will be an epic game.
For sure, and especially since FSU kind of had that little brother attitude towards SEC programs. So I think a win against LSU.
Yeah, it would be big.
Because the SEC championship will bring a lot of momentum.
It would be extremely important. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to have you on. Glenn is up next. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to our show.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Glenn, we are doing great. Thank you.
Great. I just had a little tale about Bear Bryant. Me and my brother went to Atlanta in 82.
Yes, sir.
And Alabama was playing Georgia Tech. And it was a wonderful game. And guess who was Georgia Tech's coach?
In 82, it would have been Bill Curry.
That's right. It was Bill Curry. And he eventually ended up at Alabama. I thought he was a good coach, but just couldn't beat Auburn. And got death
well,
threats and all
in,
that.
In fairness to Bill, he had everything going against him. He did lose to Auburn a couple of times. He had not beaten Auburn at Georgia Tech either, and every year that he lost, that just got piled up upon his record. But ultimately, a lot of Alabama people never accepted him. They held it against him that he was from Georgia Tech. And he made a couple of mistakes as well. His last year, he did pretty well. I mean, he went 10-1, except he was 10-0, and then he lost to Auburn in that first game ever at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Then he lost a really close game against Miami, and then he left to go to Kentucky, as you probably remember.
Yeah. I played high school football with Joe Cripps.
Oh, did you
him?
Really?
He was Auburn's leading rusher until Bo Jackson came along.
Joe Cribbs, I covered Joe not only I didn't cover him at Auburn. I was not there, but I did see him when he played in the USFL, and really one of the best running backs I've ever seen.
Yeah, I used to watch him in USFL. I used to go to the games. I'd holler out, "Run, Joe, run!"
I can't imagine, Glenn, what he was like in high school.
Oh, he was awesome. He was hard to tackle.
I mean, he was great in college, and he had a big pro career, too. He played for the Bills. He was in nobody really talks about this anymore, but he played in one of the best backfields in college football history. He played back there with William Andrews and James Brooks, who were all-pro NFL running backs.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you calling. How about Nick in Georgia, up next. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
So I saw y'all talking about the best ending to a game you've ever seen.
Right.
I've watched a lot of college football, a lot of NFL football. The best ending to a game I've ever seen was actually back in high school, though, back in Ohio.
What happened?
So I'm an alumni of Beaufort Ridge High School. We were playing Central in the county championship. You ever heard of Beaufort Ridge High School?
Vaguely. Where is it?
It's over there in Ohio. It's Beaufort Ridge.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you. Okay. So what happened at the game?
Well, we came back. It's a double overtime victory. Beaufort Ridge was up. Both of these nuts in your mouth.
Yeah, that wasn't hard to see coming, was it? Bill is next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Bill Lumpkin, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. Great to hear from you.
Good. I was watching today and seeing all about this profit, and we got our Alabama football renewals in the mail for our season tickets this week. And I noticed their Tide Pride went up about 700%.
Oh, really?
And and I've had several people call me and text me. Is like, what's this? Like, our seats are on the second row at the bottom. They're not the great seats. And before, we paid $50 for a per seat, and this year it's $700.
That is, and I wonder. I can only imagine what the better seats cost.
Yeah, there. I mean, if you just figure that up on 100,000 seats, I mean, that's in the millions. I've heard several people go, you know, and we're having to think twice about renewing our tickets. And what Saban leaves if they keep, you know, charging this, you know, we've stuck through all the Mike Price and Mike Dubose and Franchione. You know, how much can we take? And I was telling somebody, you know, I went to the basketball game last night and a bottle of water is $5, a pretzel is $14, and, you know, things like that. And they said they've been emailing Greg Byrne. He doesn't ever return their call. And it's like, what's all this money going for?
Well
like,
Bill, you've raised an interesting question. It won't be dealt with yet, but down the road, there could be a reckoning. We're out of time. We hope you have a great night.